World Cup today. Kevin Laramie joined by Dwayne Rollins. World Cup is coming soon. What, 14 days? Something like 16 days? I don't know, Dwayne, but it's coming soon. But, you know, when we talk about World Cup, we all have our little history, our little stories, our tradition, our hobbies, our games, the little moments that we look forward to before the World Cup. And one of those moments for me was yesterday, Dwayne. FIFA 18 World Cup update came out. I was able to almost win the World Cup with France, but I got eliminated in the round of 16 by damn Croatia. And that could happen, right? If it goes chalk, it's France-Croatia in the round of 16 because I lost the first place of my group. But you know what, Dwayne? It doesn't matter. I'm not good at games. It was fun, though. How are you today?
I'm good. I saw, Kevin, if you want to go back into on our YouTube page, you can watch watch the game. So, I mean, it's the same graphics and gameplay as FIFA 18 if you played it, but certainly the World Cup in there, a lot of fun there. We're going to talk about this a little more, so I'll save my questions further from that. We did obviously also have the Cincinnati announcement yesterday, Kevin, so that will be a big part of it. But my World Cup preview, or World Cup, just let Freudian slip there, my World Cup tradition is to read an ungodly amount of previews to prepare to podcast every day, and I'm staring at my screen right now, and it all begins now. I got my note. I'm going out. Gonna get my notepad. I'm gonna get everything on my big wall in front of me so that I can easily reference it verbal or visually. It's going to be a lot of work, but just like when we're preparing for the Olympics, and with the Olympics now, it's become a tradition that I put out previews of each event for those things, and they really get my head in the game. So maybe we'll do something like that moving forward. We'll see. Maybe I'll do a team by team preview as I go along. I haven't decided yet whether I have time for that, but the preview work starts today, only less than 3 weeks to go.
Yeah, no, it's really getting crazy. And of course, FC Cincinnati was announced yesterday as the brand new MLS team number 24 coming into Major League Soccer next year. And that was quick. It was a quick turnaround for FC Cincinnati. They will play at Nippert Stadium until their soccer-specific stadium, and all soccer-specific. There's going to be multidiscipline in the stadium, but a soccer priority stadium. Let's put it that way. An SPS, a soccer as priority stadium, will be built 21,000. But for fans in Cincinnati, for friends of the show, Jack Stern, DJ Switzer, who working with FC Cincinnati, congratulations. We'll get, of course, DJ on the show as soon as we can. But Dwayne, FC Cincinnati coming into Major League Soccer in just a few months.
No, well, yeah, less than a year. They will start. FC Cincinnati will kick a ball in anger before the Canadian Premier League does. And maybe we didn't think that we might have. And neither one of them we would have thought was conceptual that they would be playing in 2019 back when we first started talking about FC Cincinnati. So good for them. We talked to DJ. I think we first interviewed DJ, 2 years ago? So, yeah, that's been a short.
Yeah, I was going to say at the beginning of FC Cincinnati, just a few weeks after their first kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's been a short sprint to today, and you know, you look at this and compare and contrast it to the Sacramento, who once again are bridesmaid in this situation, at least in this round, and you just have to wonder. Interesting comments, Don Garber, in the press event last night. He mentioned how there's no timetable for the next round of expansion, which is something he typically says, and then went on to list every team under the moon without Phoenix for some reason. He didn't mention Phoenix, which is a bit strange for me because
you know
I would
why.
Have thought that they...
You know why, right? Because if you don't mention Phoenix, because it's probably going to happen sooner rather than later. So if you say, I'm not going to give a table for the next round, and you omit one city... Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I don't know. Maybe we'll see, but you're right. It's interesting names, interesting cities that Garber mentioned in the same sentence.
Yeah, and the one that really jumped out to people because they didn't put a formal application in previous, and suddenly he's talking about them, which says all you need and want to know about MLS expansion process. The first rule of MLS expansion is there are no rules to MLS expansion, right?
The first rule of MLS expansion is you don't talk about MLS expansion. Is it
or you talk about it all the time. You just don't talk in specifics. That's, I think, maybe the better rule, yeah. But the city, of course, would be the worst city on earth, the most horrible sports location that has ever existed, the most terrible cheese ball thing. You talk about authentic supporters culture. You won't find it here, my friends. The Las Vegas Lights. Well, not the Lights necessarily, but I'm just hockey bitter. But nonetheless, they mentioned Vegas by name.
A city of lights and you're throwing shades? Come on.
We'll see. They have to win four more, three more, so it's fine. But what do you think if you're Sacramento and you're hearing Vegas' name mentioned in the same sentence as you, and you're still, you just sit there tight. We'll get to you. Like, at some point, and I think maybe we need to have a Sacramento fan on or someone that follows this closely soon, because I've got to think that they're beginning to come around to my way of thinking that they're getting screwed over in the situation. So, but good for Cincinnati. I mean, we've talked to death about Cincinnati in this, build up. I don't think there's much more for us to say in terms of what we think of what this market's going to be, what it's going to look like, whether or not it's a good pick or not. I think that they've proven enough in a short period of time that there is some momentum behind this, but I don't know if there's much more to say on that, other than the more interesting thing that I found out of yesterday's announcement was not only what he said there, but also him getting asked, and we're talking about him, me talking to Don Garber, 15 different ways about the Columbus situation, and him finding 15 different ways to say no comment, basically. He was asked whether he thought that they'd be a good rival, which is a very tricky way of getting to confirm that they'd be playing in the league next year. He said if they're in Columbus, they will be. A lot of situations. Said that he wasn't afraid to have two teams in Ohio, but they didn't say that they would have two teams in Ohio. There's more to the Columbus situation too. There is actually a meeting in Austin on Friday between PSV and city council in terms of some of the planning around the stadium site. So we'll know more about Austin next week, and we'll talk about it in next week's shows. But certainly, fun stuff in Cincinnati yesterday, Kevin.
Speaking of Columbus, for a second, I don't know if you saw the Jozy Altidore reply.
I did, yes.
Oh, my God. All right, for our listeners, Jozy Altidore won social media 2 days ago. Some fan was saying, oh, nice ring. You should wear it to the World Cup. Ha ha. Hashtag not going, making fun of Jozy for not going to the World Cup. He's like, yeah, I'll wear it when I come see you in Austin next year. That hurt.
A lot of people were critical of Jozy for making the dig, but I mean, hey, you got to be able to take it if you give it, I think, is the way to say about that. Although Jozy probably needs to play again so he gets off social media. I'm sure TFC agrees.
Exactly. But if you can dish it, you have to take it. Anyways, let's talk World Cup. Let's talk World Cup traditions. Yes, FIFA 18 World Cup update came out yesterday. Panini stickers have been out for what? Since 1964? It's been a tradition for World Cup fans around the world. And there's a lot of more traditions like that. There's, of course, FIFA Football Manager has a World Cup thing. There's a lot of games, hobbies, traditions, and nice little habits that people have with the World Cup. Of course, mine is the FIFA game. It's been since 2010 when it was a standalone game. In 2014, there was an update. Now there's an update. There's the same things for the Euro, too. And it kind of gives me the last little taste before I can actually experience the World Cup. It gives me the first look at the stadium, the first look at the graphics, right? The graphics package usually is the same as the TV. So you kind of get, like, you whet your appetite by playing this game. That's what I did yesterday. But I've been looking at other traditions, and I know a lot of fans, Dwayne, probably a lot of our listeners, I know many of them already trading, swapping stickers. What are your hobbies and World Cup traditions, if you have any? And what is your thought when you look at this pretty much subculture that is creating with this amazing event?
I've collected Panini stickers in the past, both for the Euro and for the World Cup. It's a relatively new tradition over here, the Panini themselves. They're still a little bit difficult to find, although they're more and more common this year. This is the most common I've ever seen them. Pretty much I can walk a lot and run a lot now, so I'm out and about in the city all over, and I see signs on stores like little bodegas everywhere that say, Panini stickers here, whereas a couple World Cups a couple years ago, that was more difficult to find. You had kind of to travel for them. So that certainly is something I've done in the past. It's a very expensive little hobby, though, and getting more and more expensive. Not so much soccer stuff, but I remember doing the hockey sticker books when I was a kid. And, the packets were $1 back then, which even with inflation were reasonable. Now they're like $6-$7, right? So it's a bit ridiculous.
Well, because they assume that the same guys who were buying the packs back then now have more disposable income. They can spend more money on the packs and the boxes. And people don't buy packs now. They buy by the box. So you buy a box, and then you got a bunch of swaps, a bunch of duplicates that you need to get rid of. And that becomes the fun. The fun of the Panini sticker collection is not just putting the stickers in the book. That could be tedious, actually. And it's long. It's like you have to take the damn paper in the back and stick it. You have to find where it goes. But it's the meetings. It's going to swap. It's like, I'll give you one Messi for five Torres or whatever the case may be. Yeah, for Torres. That's never going to happen. He's not in the book in 2018. But you know what I mean, Dwayne? Those little moments, those gathering at the soccer store late at night, at Passion Soccer Boutique on Jarry, you know, you get together, you swap stickers, or you get together, you have a pint, and you look at the book, finished book, like, yeah, this is my team, this is my guys. Those conversations that happen because of that hobby, this is what it's all about.
No, for sure. Even back in the day when I was a kid, we used to... I can't even imagine how much value I wasted with hockey cards back in the day, flipping them against a wall. I don't know if you did that in Quebec or not, but we'd have a contest where you'd throw the cards against the wall, and the closest to the wall would get all of the cards you threw. We were gambling, basically.
Yeah, no, in 1992, I gave all the hockey cards that I have, which was a pretty extensive collection, a few thousands, to just a neighbor downstairs. Like, yeah, I'm 12 years old. You take care of this now. Maybe I should have kept them, because a few of them would have been worth a lot of money. But not that much. So apparently, like, cards, too. Let's talk about cards. Soccer cards are more popular now. Not that they're more popular. They're less popular, but they're more valuable. If you buy a few packs of cards, you might find a card that's worth $5,000-$6,000 in one of those packs. Example, in hockey collection, soccer collections, now you have, like, cards with a part of the guy's jersey on the card. The actual jersey you wore on that game. You get one of those cards from the Euro or the World Cup of Brazil and Neymar, it's worth like $5,000. So there is that aspect of collecting stickers, the hobby aspect of the World Cup. That does complete the experience for me. It's not just about the game. The World Cup doesn't start on June 14th at 5 p.m. The World Cup started when the other one finished.
No, well, precisely. Well, it starts... at least when the qualifying begins. I always say that, you know, because we never have a team in the race, right? So for Canada and for us here, it's the World Cup starts the second the other one ends, because, all right, we're back in the business. We're no longer eliminated. We're not, so there eliminated. We go.
We can hope again. We can dream. We never know.
Well, yeah, we have League of Nations starting in October. The exact dates are released the other day. It's October 26th or something. It's a game here in Canada. So there you go. We know when we're going to have to travel somewhere, and hopefully that's maybe there'll be a CPL stadium open for that. But nonetheless, I mentioned it earlier in terms of my tradition, Kevin. And this is, you know, I was being a bit facetious, but not totally facetious when I say that I start to read. And what I will do over the next few weeks, and this is kind of old schooling it up now a little bit, and it seems strange to say this, but it is, I'll go to a bookstore and I will find whatever books there are on this World Cup, because inevitably there'll be some published around this, and I will find two or three magazine previews that I will spend way too much money on, and I will take those magazines and those books, and I will come back and I will find a nice shaded area, and I will sit down and I will start reading old school, turning a page, because that's always what I've done before a big event, before an Olympics, before a World Cup. I like to read and absorb all the information I can on it, and although there's a million different, I can do it on my phone on the subway now, yeah, sure, and I will do a little of that, obviously. There's something about holding that magazine and walking up to that cash register and buying that $10 now preview edition, and you know, the excitement when you see those World Cup and you see the World Cup faces and you see World Cup 2018 preview on there. That's my tradition, is to go get those things.
You know, you talk about magazines. You know what you remind me of? You know, remember, I'm not into cycling as much now just because of lack of time, and I don't have like 8 hours in my day to watch cycling. But there was a time in my life from maybe 2009 to 2016 where there wasn't a year where I wasn't getting the cycling preview for the World Cup, the Tour de France. And there's like a bunch of big, big magazines that are like 200 pages, and it's one of the last... I would say that the last hill that magazine will die on is those great previews, those great pieces that does have a shelf life that you can have on your magazine stand for like a month or 2 months before. But it does bring you that image that we don't have anymore. You're right. The textile part where you touch the paper, glossy paper, quality preview article that are researched and deep, you know, in our our attention deficit world, we don't always take the time to go deep into a story. And sometimes in magazine world, which is the case for World Cup previews and Tour de France previews and so on, it's still the last big magazine editions that actually go out and maybe you're trying to get. So maybe I will do like you today, walk around nice place in my city. Oh, wait, a bookstore. You guys have magazines yet? Still? Yes? Cool. Give me a World Cup magazine.
No, fair enough. And, you know, you can get them at the library, too, if you really want to be cheap about it. But nonetheless, there's something nice about it. There is certainly, you know, weaknesses to it because they're doing these preview editions 4 months ago, so they can't talk about injuries and things like that. But we have the internet to supplement it. So there's something nice, as you say, about it. You know, we still with the Olympic one. I used to subscribe to Sports Illustrated religiously as a kid growing up. Right into my 20s, I think about 15 years, I had a subscription to SI, and I would, you know, when I was away to university, I would have my parents, would still go back to my parents' house, and I have them save them up, so when I go home for breaks, I'd have like 7 or 8 magazines that I could just plow through, and it would help me, you know, survive my vacation back away from my friends, right? I don't do that anymore because SI just, it seems antiquated in terms of the writing's still great, but you can find that writing online and it's only for special events you like to do it. And the one special, like I said, the World Cup, I'll go make sure I have the SI World Cup preview. And I always make sure that even though I find the way that, and I'm, as someone who does a bit of prediction now on in terms of Olympic events, I know exactly how they do it. So it's kind of the shines off it, but I always go look for that Olympic preview so I can count how many medals that they predict. By the way they do Olympic preview medals is that they take the world rankings,
yeah,
and then they bump up the American about 5 positions. That's how SI picks their medals.
And for soccer, usually it's a sport that's played by German and won by German on penalties, right? That's how you write on magazines about World Cup. Like, okay, Germany's going to win.
I'm sure Grant Wall has a lovely piece that will appear in next week's Sports Illustrated. Don't you worry. But nonetheless, I will make sure I go out and do that. That's my tradition. But Kevin, this segment's gone a little long. You like to talk about stuff like this. You didn't really talk about the gameplay of FIFA. No, I am curious how this works, what it's set up. Can you qualify? Like, can you take Canada?
Well, okay. You can't qualify, but you can swap any of the 32 teams for any of the 200 nations available in this version of the game. So yes, you can swap Canada. And actually, with my friend David yesterday, David Foote, well-known hockey commentator and radio personality from Belleville, Ontario, we were playing last night together with Canada in our group composed of Iceland, Russia, and Peru, I think? Anyways, it was a fake group. And we didn't qualify. Like, we lost. We lost. We won the first game against, like, I don't know. I think it was Peru. Like, all right, let's qualify for the knockout stage. Let's beat Russia. We lost. And then we lost again. And it was like Canada. We couldn't make it. You know, the forces in the game are pretty even because, pretty even to real life. We couldn't make a pass. We got a red card after 5 minutes. It was like watching Canada play. So, yeah, this game is pretty realistic.
Well, there you go. And I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't be able to qualify Germany if I needed to. But nonetheless, I remember you talk about video games. My favorite FIFA video version was the Road to the World Cup 1998. So I would have played this in like 97 or so.
Sega Genesis. That was on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah,
or
for
Super
sure.
Nintendo, probably.
And you could go through World. That was Road 2, is what it was called, right? So the entire FIFA game that year was dedicated to national teams, and you had to qualify the team right from the scratch. Like, that's how you did it. Like, you could start at the World Cup. They had that option, but no one did that. And we got so good at it back then that we used to try and win the World Cup with the Cayman Islands. I remember that as one of our challenges because the Cayman Islands were the worst team in the league, in the game. So if you could get to the point that you could win the World Cup with the Cayman Islands, you would pretty much mastered Road to the World Cup. There was a trick to scoring, just like there always was in those games back then. So
you go from – it's the exact same one as NHL 94. You go from the right side of the screen to the left, and you tap the top corner. You should be okay.
We called it the J goal because you made a J. It's exactly the shape of the...
from right to left, the J, and you score. Yeah, but just to continue on the game itself, FIFA 18 World Cup Edition, the update, outside of the actual tournament with the 32 teams that you can play offline, there's that. You can play online too, so you just choose your team, And as that national team, you play three games online against three random guys, and their team becomes your group. And then you go to the knockout stage, and every time you lose, you're knocked out. So you can do it this way online. Or there's the FIFA Ultimate Team version, which is a bit of a mix of everything we talked about. You know those Panini stickers? You know card collecting? There's the same aspect in the virtual world called Ultimate Team, where you spend fake money that you put real money on to have, or you win games, you win coins, and you buy packs with players. And those players, you open packs, you get players, good players. You can keep them, you can sell them. There is that aspect of the game, too, in the FIFA 18 World Cup update, which you can build your ultimate team with players from different regions and different countries, and their chemistry will be better if they're from the same region, and even better if they're the same country. And from there, you build your ultimate squad, and you can challenge online and play an online tournament or online seasons as well. So those are pretty much all the way you can play FIFA 18 World Cup. There's not as much depth. You can't play co-op. You can't really play with a friend and trying to qualify together. There's a few things you can't do, so you need to be creative and use other PlayStation's options like SharePlay, which is what we did last night. But there's a few things you can do, and this pretty much sums it up. It's not a really deep game, and it's not a game that's made for people to play for a year, so that's why it's free. That's why it's just a little update. It's like to make FIFA 18 that has no World Cup in it manageable during the World Cup, so people can get their appetite of the World Cup and the graphics and everything. But it's not there to make money. The proof is it's free, but FIFA still makes a lot of money with people spending money to get the virtual currencies so they can buy virtual cards.
Well, is that not, correct me if I'm wrong, but that virtual, the ultimate team, is that not how they do most of their tournaments now, that you're playing with your ultimate team?
That's how usually the E-World Cup that starts tomorrow, but players are gathering today. And I think it's in Egypt, I'm not sure. But it's starting soon. But yes, FUT, FIFA Ultimate Team, is the competitive side a bit. It's a bit different, too. The gameplay is a bit more... You don't have as many assists. Like, the computer doesn't help you to pass assists and stuff. So sometimes you're trying to make a pass and you actually, like, score in your own net because the computer's not there to make you stop. So, yeah, it's a bit more difficult. But no, it is where FIFA and EA Sports makes a lot of their money, is the virtual currencies and the virtual cards. You can still play normally, but like the competitive side and what the cool kids are doing is on FIFA Ultimate Team.
Well, yeah, that's how all the video game companies are making their money now, with the value add purchases, right?
Microtransactions are called, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I play Clash Royale on my phone, and I don't ever spend any money, but trust me, I know a lot of people out there do. And I usually end up matching them at 3 a.m, and they're from Asia somewhere usually. But at any rate, nonetheless, that's a lot of fun stuff, and a lot of people spending a lot of money. But a lot of fun coming up in the next couple weeks, Kevin. I can't wait. I'm getting excited now. I'm finally getting excited.
Exactly. Me too. Let's take a very short break and continue to talk about the World Cup. We'll review group. We'll preview very quickly and just take a look at what Group A might have in store for
us. Или вдалеке плыла, качалась лодочка моя у зерике.
World Cup today, live every day during the World Cup, Russia 2018. 10 minutes after the first game of the day, Dwayne Rollins and myself will be live right here at youtube.com/sportspodcastingnetwork and give you our thoughts on the two games of the day before and the game of the morning. And on top of it as well, you have our impressions on everything else surrounding that tournament, and you can have those shows ad free if you like. And you can go to patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. A pledge of $5 a month will give you access to ad free versions of World Cup Today, Soccer Today, and any other shows SPN produces. And we're back, Dwayne. I know Russian music, I don't know if it's really your forte, you're really gonna get tired of it in the next month, but Russian music to talk about Group A, which is the host group. This is where Russia is. Thought it was worth it.
I'm not gonna lie. I actually still to this day listen to a few K-pop songs from, including Blackpink, which is the song that did all of my previews that some of you might have drilled into your head. Unfortunately, I listened to that the other day. So the K-pop was much better from Pyeongchang, but we'll see what the Russians have to offer. Group A, indeed, Kevin. Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. Initial first thoughts.
Uruguay wins the group. Yeah. Uruguay comes out. It's Suarez's redemption story. That's the narrative in Group A. Can Suarez not bite anyone in three games and make it out of the group?
Yeah, well, certainly that. And I mean, maybe we have a different discussion, you know, in the 10th minute of the Champions League final. We might have a different interpretation of this group. But that injury has really put a wet blanket over what has already perhaps arguably one of the weakest groups I've seen in World Cup history. I have to go back and look.
This group and the group from France this year, those are like the two groups where, because there's Denmark in that group with France, Group C. But Group A, yeah. Like, you're going to tell me Russia didn't buy that group? Like, okay, look, can you find a way to give us easy opponents, at least one or two? Like, Egypt's not going to be easy for Russia. Egypt, depending if Mo Salah is okay, because that game is June 19th. Mo Salah might not be okay for the first game on June 16th, but he's going to be maybe okay for the second one. And the second one is June 19th versus Russia for Egypt. Saudi Arabia, for me, is the lesser of the four teams here. Great that they qualified. It's actually very impressive that they qualified. But Russia should be able to at least get one result, and I think it's going to be against Saudi Arabia. Uruguay is going to beat all three, in my opinion. Uruguay should win this group with three victories, and then it's going to be, did Russia get enough points, and can Russia profit off the injury of Mo Salah by getting enough points, at least four for sure, with differential, to be enough to get out of the group? That will be the question. Can the host get out of the group? It was terrible in 2010 when South Africa did not qualify out of the group. It was the first time the host country was eliminated in the group stage. Are we going to see it a second time this year?
Maybe, yeah. I tend to say yes. I mean, Mo Salah, obviously his injury is the key thing we're looking at. Uruguay is the class, and they were fine. They're not at the peak that they were in 2010, certainly, or even in 2014. I think they aren't on the downhill of their cycle, but nonetheless, I do think they clearly are the class of this group. Egypt, before today, I would have given them a shot. I am not convinced that Salah is going to be ready for this World Cup in any real way. That is a serious injury that he suffered in that Champions League final. Russia is maybe the weakest group. Maybe the weakest host that we've seen since South America or South Africa, for sure. You might have made an argument for Japan and the Koreans back in 2002, but of course, Korea went on their...
they went to the semis. How did that happen? I was watching it yesterday. I was watching like a resume, and I was like, oh, yeah, they made it. That was weird. How can they be top four? I don't... Yeah. Italians.
There's some things we probably shouldn't talk about there either, but nonetheless, we'll see. We'll call it questionable calls. We'll call them that.
I was going to say, we'll call it the ancestor to Calcios Comese, but that's something different.
Yeah. Russia is actually ranked, and if you believe in FIFA rankings, they're actually ranked below Saudi Arabia. Now, the caveat I'll give to that, of course, is the same one I'd give anywhere here, is that Saudi Arabia is getting some gimme points playing, you know, your Yemens of the world, right? So that's not necessarily going to be completely reflective, whereas Russia has to play other top European countries in its own qualifying. They didn't have to qualify this time, obviously, but when they're, you know, qualifying for the Euros, they look terrible European qualifying. They look terrible in the Confederations Cup. They have not looked like they had a direction of any real sense for a while. When you think about Russia as a host, no one is talking about the team itself. Everyone is worried about the stuff around it, but the team itself is pretty bleak as well. What will this mean for the World Cup too if Russia does bail out? Because this is a bail out early. I mean, like, they're going to bail out. No one is delusional enough to think that Russia is going deep in this tournament. But, you know, getting to the round of 16 would be an accomplishment. I think the question that I would have is, what will it mean for the momentum of the tournament when Mother Russia is gone, if they're gone meekly? And I don't know. The Confederations Cup wasn't spectacular. I don't remember any problems in it, but it's not memorable either. And a big part of that was because there was no host presence there.
Yeah, that's one point. The thing is, though, being in Europe, being to a certain proximity to big European clubs, and having pretty much outside of Brazil, majority of the favorites are European. Who's been talked about winning this thing? Germany, France, oh, maybe dark horse of Belgium, or not England, not even in the conversation, but they would be the second tier of that conversation. Or you have a Brazil. Big favorites are European teams. European teams, closeness about it. And the fun thing with the World Cup is you know where your club's playing in the group stage for a long time before. And then you can pretty much figure out where the knockout stage group games, the knockout stage games will happen and plan accordingly. So there will be support. There will be fans supporting those teams. And I don't really see the lack of Russian support for neutral games to be really something important because of the proximity of really big football cultures that will make the difference in fans. I think we'll see a World Cup where not all the games will be sold out. I'll give it to you. We'll see some empty seats, especially in like awkward games. But for me, whenever it's going to be a big European team, it's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, well, look, I think there will be less fans traveling for a variety of reasons. Perhaps a little more than well in 4 years' time, but although I'm fascinated by the Qatar World Cup, and that's actually going to be a fairly easy travel because once you're there, you're there. You can go to all 8 stadiums or 12 stadiums, but nonetheless, that's 4 years apart. And so why are they holding the World Cup in Qatar? Why?
I don't know. We've been talking about this for 4 years. I don't know. Because someone paid a lot of money for it. That's why.
How stupid is that? Anyway, no, it's look.
Wait, next time is going to be in the Arctic. Like Arctic, let's have the World Cup in the North Pole. Let's make it a happening.
That would be safer, okay, than what they're doing there. Someone might die at the World Cup in 2022. This is a problem.
Someone? It's or you talk about the thousands of workers that died already.
Touche, but yeah.
That's where you're like, it hurts. It's like, yeah, already like over 1,000 deaths, and it's still 4 years away.
Mm. Yeah.
Things got real, so, eh? Things got real, real quick.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get it back to the football. Look, Russia has some players that play at a decent level. If they can find some direction, I do think that they have enough to get past Saudi Arabia, certainly with the injury. Do you give them a chance against Egypt? I think Egypt is one of those teams right now that has almost become dangerously trendy in terms of a dark horse pick. Everyone talks about dark horses, and Egypt pops up all the time to the point that I don't know whether they're a dark horse anymore. This is a team that has had a lot of success at the African Cup of Nations, but the African Cup of Nations is a funny little tournament that a lot of weird teams win occasionally, and certainly Egypt had a lot of success there, but there's a reason they failed consistently to get to a World Cup, and they've fallen at this level. So we don't quite know what to make of them in this tournament. They did have, you know, a talisman that we certainly thought might be able to drive them, and again, if without Ramos, his little impact on Group A, certainly I am selecting them to get out of this as the second seed easily. Now this adds a little bit more intrigue to it. Hell, I'd give Saudi Arabia a chance now too, although a distant one, for that second slot. So I suppose when you're talking about, you know, competitive balance, there is something to be said about Group A, but in terms of overall quality, this is not exactly the most exciting World Cup group I've ever seen. And in fact, I'll have to go back and look through, but this has to rank among the weakest groups I've ever seen in a World Cup. It's part of that self-perpetuating, right? When your top seed is as bad, like Russia gets a seed in this, they are the seeded team in Group A. When that they're as weak as they are, then the whole group is going to suffer as a result. And, if Canada makes it 2026, we're going to see the same thing here, but then nonetheless.
And it will be.
Maybe we'll turn it on.
Yep, and it will be interesting. Group A wraps up on June 25th with both game at the same time, Uruguay versus Russia, to maybe see who wins the group, depending of Egypt and Mo Salah's injury. And the second game in the last day will be Saudi Arabia versus Egypt. Again, Group A composed of Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. And Soccer Today, World Cup Today's prediction for the Group A goes as follow. Right now, depending on the Mo Salah injury, Egypt could go down or go up. But as we've been talking about, Uruguay is our clear-cut favorite. depending on the injury to Mo Salah or not, Russia or Egypt would be second, third, and then you'll have Saudi Arabia fourth. But
real quickly, Kevin, I don't know whether it's the weakest group I've ever seen. I know it is the weakest World Cup opener I've ever seen in my life. Like, yeah. Oh my God. Russia, Saudi Arabia? Come on. I've never had a World Cup opener where you might skip it otherwise.
Well, why would you watch it? Like, it's not like Russia.
Well, because it's in the World Cup. That's why you watch it. But.
No, you watch it for the show before, for the opening ceremony before the game, because that's when they happen.
There you go. Anyway, all right. I'm done.
Exactly. As always, you can follow Dwayne on Twitter at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Laramie. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of World Cup Today. Up until the end of the World Cup, Soccer Today becomes World Cup Today. So you'll have a few soccer talk here and there about normal soccer or club soccer for North America and around the world. But for now, this is World Cup Today. Your home for the look at the World Cup with a soccer perspective. And as always, Dwayne Rollins at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larme, at Soccer Today SPN, ad-free version of our show is available for $5 a month at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. And as always, have a great FIFA 18 World Cup edition.